This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another Scoutcast brought to you by Fantasy Football Scout. As always, you're joined by me, Andy, FPL Mode, and we've got our Seb back. How's it going, Seb?
Hey, mate, it's going very well, thank you. Pleasure to be back. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. We missed you last week. It was just me and Rich, and it didn't really feel the same. It felt like we needed a threesome.
I did catch up on it, actually, and we all need a threesome sometimes, Andy, but exactly. I did catch up on it, and I thought it was lovely. So I was worried to come back and throw you off.
Yeah, exactly. And Rich, we're also joined by you, obviously. How's it going? How's your week been?
Oh, I get that introduction. Yeah, it's been all right. We've had two game weeks since then, haven't we? Because I was trying to remember what the hell we even talked about last time. I think that's when I bought Radley or something.
I think it might, but I can't even remember now. It all blurs now, doesn't it? But you're looking at the ranks. Obviously, I'm the only one on the stream tonight with a red arrow. I'm down to 53k. But you boys are kind of, I think there's one point between you both, isn't there, Seb?
Did not expect you to say Seb there. Yeah, apparently. I only found that out earlier. I think Rich said I'd gone top, which is, you know, perfect. Take two game weeks off, go from not top to top, ideal. That's convenient. I'd have it that way every week if I could. Yeah, convenient. Yeah, not available. Wait, guys, I'm available. Rich,
I'm a point ahead.
Because you were on a red last week, and obviously you were unavailable, but you're on a green this week, and you're now top.
Yeah, so I think I read it out of the wild card, I think. Or I greened and then did a bigger red. But either way, I was down in like the 30s.
There's definitely a correlation between your performance and your appearances on Scoutcast, I've noticed this.
I was actually wondering, because I knew you'd say that, and there definitely isn't. I have missed a few posts, you know, life stuff, doing things. Yeah. And every time I've done it, I have like paid attention to that, and there's been more red hours than green that I've missed.
That's fine. I'll let you off. But thank you to everybody that's in the chat that's joining us this evening. Again, I have no idea how many are in the chat because YouTube Studio is just a mess at the moment. So I do apologise for that. But I'm assuming we got a few people in there. We got FPL Freddy, FPL Lewis, Dragonlot. We got Roberto, Fatality, FPL Macam. Thank you very much for joining us. SEO as well, who was in the chat very early. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. We've got a really big episode tonight. Not big in terms of it's going to be long, big in terms of there's a lot coming up soon. So we've obviously got double game week 34, which is going to be massive for a lot of people. We've got double game week 35 as well for Spurs and Chelsea. We've got double game week 37. Everybody's thinking about their moves they're going to be making. There's an awful lot happening in the next couple of weeks. So we need to make sure that people are prepared and thinking about their moves they're going to be making, whether that's because they're going to be using their free hit, their wild card, their bench boost. We really are getting into the business end of the season now. So hopefully one or two of us can help you tonight. So we're going to be having a look at our points and see how we got on this last game week. We're going to be looking at the fixtures. We're just going to bring those up quickly from Lego Mane, because obviously he is brilliant with his hop on, hop off fixtures that he does for us. So we're going to be having a quick look at those and just reminding ourselves of the fixtures coming up. We're going to be looking at game week 34 projections for goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders and forwards, because there are going to be people that are thinking, I need to invest in players ready for 34. And there's also going to be players that are thinking, oh, who do I get on my free hit? Which we will go into more detail next week, but we thought we'd just kind of just have a quick recap of it now. We're also going to be quickly having a look at Chelsea and Spurs, because those people on free hit 34 will need to be investing in Chelsea and Spurs for their double game week in 35. And of course, it's a double game week for them, because they have another one coming up as well. Then we've got our over-unders, we've got our teams, we've got the community team, and we'll have a Q&A at the end as well. So we've got an awful lot to get through, but we're going to get through it as quickly as possible. And the first things first, we're going to be looking at our points. I had 64 points this week. I was on 52k, so I got about a 1k red arrow, so it's practically a grey arrow. And to be honest, it could have been worse, but I'll talk you through it. So I had Neto in goal with 4, which I was quite happy with, to be perfectly honest. Gabriel with 6, Doggy with 2. God, Doggy. God, what a transfer he's been. They cannot keep a clean sheet, can they? Doughty, who got 2, Son with 5, Palmer, who I captained with 10, Saka with 10, Salah with 8, Spawny 8, I would say, Tony with 1, Haaland with 8, and then Morris, my hero, who got 8 as well, who could have got an absolute haul, like watching those highlights, he had a lot of shots. And then Areola on my bench was 0, Elanga finally got an attacker return the week I benched him and he didn't come on. Reguilón got 2 attacker returns and ended up with 9 points. And then Zabani last on my bench. Tony, by the way, only getting 1 point, was benched, apparently had a niggling injury. God knows if he even starts next week against Sheffield United now. Can't believe how badly that move has gone between him and Muniz, but there you go. So 64 and a 1k red arrow. So if you're going to have a bad week and only get a 1k red arrow, you've got to be quite happy, I think. So, like I said, I think Morris saved my skin a little bit this week, but I take that. 8 points from a 1% owned player, I think he was. So, yeah, you take it. It's not too bad.
He ruined Neto as well, didn't he?
He did. Good.
Yeah.
Rich, let's move on to your points with that double Arsenal defence that has just been absolutely beautiful for quite a while now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been all right. It seems they're getting more attention now, doesn't it? Because they've actually started keeping the clean sheets. People are starting to talk about them. But then there are people looking at, you know, in a few weeks, we're going to be looking at selling them, potentially.
Yeah, potentially.
So it's a bit of a weird one, that. But yeah, I got 66 points. It wasn't even a 1K green arrow. I think it was like on the safety score. So it was almost a grey, to be honest.
Yeah.
So yeah, Neto with 4. I think at one point he was on double digits. Yeah. I think he was even on about 6 or 7 points before Morris scored. Yes. Yeah, Gabriel and Saliba with 6 and 5. Paul Torres with 1. Saka 10, Palmer 5. Sarabia is who I bought in. I had to get rid of Richarlison. It was between like Sarabia, Zaha and McNeil. I think they were the options I was looking
Zaha.
At. So I keep saying Zaha instead of Eze.
You went the right
one
then.
Because I'm so used to, you know, Crystal Palace talisman. I keep doing it when I'm planning as well. I go into the FPL team and search Zaha and I'm like, I've done it again. But yeah, Sarabia was 7. I mean, again, that was annoying because yes, he scored a penalty. Do you see he got booked?
Yes, on the bench.
When Kilman's goal was disallowed. Yeah, it cost him 2 points. Like, I couldn't believe it. I'd seen something on Twitter where someone had said, all the Wolves bench are going mental.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, don't be Sarabia. Yeah. But it was. Salah with 8 and then Son captain with 10. Haaland 8 and Solanke 2. The real decision for me, apart from bringing in Sarabia, was the captain.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people were between Salah and Palmer. I was between Son and Haaland. Part of that was minutes, but it was also, I just wanted to try and, I was hoping there was going to be a big swing. Mm. And be on the right end of it. And I mean, Son did almost score at the end. But
yeah, he did.
But yeah, I think it was fair that it was quite even.
Yeah,
like, no. It was basically 8 or 5, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, there was some jam, but let's not upset people.
I think as long as you own them all, it was like a 3-point difference in the end, wasn't it? If you captain one of them. So it's nothing,
yeah.
Really, is it, in the end?
Yeah. And there was a lot of penalties this week. I mean, obviously Saka scored a penalty, Salah scored a penalty, Sarabia scored a penalty. So penalty takers are back.
Yeah, exactly. We talk about them an awful lot. And Seb, talk us through your team as well, because you had some good points at the back there, finally.
Yeah. About, I think, 74, 76 or something overall. My mic's doing the thing again. Apologies, I'll have to keep trying to fix it as I talk. This is a post-wildcard team, so I wildcarded 2 game weeks ago now. There's been 1 transfer since as well, which I'll go through as we go. But the team is David Raya with 6 and Gabriel with 6, so double Arsenal defence, although a different double to Rich. Pedro Porro with 11, finally got himself an attacking return that early in the season racked up, I think he's got about 8 assists. And it seems like all of them came in the first half of the season. So nice to get some returns again there. But fortunate this week, obviously, right? Because I think that was the big difference between, well, between obviously, you know, not 76 points and 76 points. But I think that probably pushed me back into a nice green arrow, which is fortunate. Captain Salah, I didn't really give that one too much thought. Sounds like maybe I should have done. But I was comfy enough on Salah. Get a penalty, always a bit of luck there. But I will take my haul from him after captaining him the week before as well. And not getting as much as you might hope for there, given the amount of shots and everything he'd put up. Sarabia as well, who came in on my wild card and has done nicely. Actually, Eze and Sarabia, I think, have been nice little duo there, have been rotating well. Saka and Palmer to complete a very similar midfield to everyone else. Haaland, Solanke and Darwin up front with a bench of Petrovic, Gusto, who did actually start, but obviously not in real life, so Vardiel came off the bench for him, and Eze and Munoz. My transfer was Bradley to Vardiel, so this was the wildcard team, but it had Bradley instead of Vardiel. I made that move. It turns out I actually made that move because I think there was talk of Saka not playing, so I wondered if I wanted cover that wasn't one of the Palace players. Turns out Saka did play, but then it also didn't matter because Vardiel got booked and then subbed, I think. Yeah. So that one might be interesting, especially seeing as I'll want triple Liverpool again soon, but I'm not sure what Trent's injury situation is, but I'm not sure Bradley will be the one for the double. Yeah. So I was happy to make that move and then have Vardiel for when he doesn't play in Man City's double later instead.
It's interesting because I really quickly wanted to bring up about benches at the moment, because obviously you didn't get a lot of bench jam there. You had Gusto not playing, Gvardiol come in for zero, which is very unlucky. But Rich, if I go to you first, an awful lot of people in the last couple of weeks have been getting a lot of bench jam, you would say, with, say, Gusto was out this week, Saka and Haaland were both out. People got, like, Garnacho's in, they got Porro's in, they got all these players. Watkins, I think, came in for some people as well. I think people talk about this an awful lot at the beginning of the season. How much of that is just kind of just pure luck? And how much of it is, well, you know, you choose your 15 players, so if those players come in, it's all fine? Because it seems like there's been some massive swings recently just based on bench players coming in, doesn't it?
I mean, there has. And I think part of it is, I think this FPL always used to be like this.
Yeah.
Before they brought in five subs. I seem to remember, like, bench points most week, as in, you know, always someone would miss out. And I think we've been kind of immune from it this season. And probably because there's a lot of leaks out there as well. People get away with, you know, making the changes. So I don't think it's that much. I mean, it's annoying, isn't it? It's frustrating.
Yeah.
And also you tend to notice the EO is a lot lower. Like, a lot of people don't have the same, you know, people have the same starting teams, but then, you know, bench players can come on. They're 20, you know, 10% EO, for example, and it can be a massive, massive difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time.
Yeah, it probably causes massive swings, but I think it's harsh to say it's luck. It's just frustrating, isn't it? Like, if you're not on the right end of it. Because if you are on the right end of it, you just think of it as skill, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. So Seb, here's a theoretical question for you. And I'm not going to talk about this for too long, but here's a theoretical question for you. If you and Rich, if Rich beat you by 3 points this year, right? So by the end of the year, if he beat you by 3 points, but he had way more players coming off the bench and getting him points than you did throughout the season. So, for instance, if he had Garnacho coming off the bench because Saka didn't play the 2 weeks ago, and that, when you boiled it all down to it, that was one of the main reasons he beat you, does that make him a better manager than you? Because he had Garnacho on the bench and you didn't that week.
I mean, makes him 3 points better, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, I mean, I'd argue that it's not the fact that he got points off the bench that would make him better or worse. It's a margin of 3 points is almost nothing, right? So it would be a very small margin either way if that's how you wanted to decide who was a better manager. But yeah, fair enough, benches are there to be used. And if it was your example, Garnacho for Saka, it's not like I wouldn't have Saka as well. So say if Saka didn't play, we both lose Saka, so yeah. It comes down to our bench decision, and he's made a better bench decision than me. So yeah, I can't really argue with that until it happens, and then I'll change my mind.
Well, me personally, my argument is you got Gvardiol off the bench this week, so that's why you're beating me this year. It's disgusting. right, let's have a look. By the way, in the chat, let us know what you think about subs as well, because it's always an interesting discussion. So we've got Leggo Mane's double game week fixtures, all those things that we love to see from him on his hop-on, hop-off fixture list. He does have game week 31 and 32 on here as well, but obviously we're thinking from 33 onwards. And just so people know, just in case you don't already, so 34 is the big double game week. We got double game weeks for Arsenal, Liverpool. We got double game weeks for Crystal Palace, Wolves, and also for Everton and Sheffield United. And we also have a blank game week for Spurs, so they do not play in 34. Then in 35, we have confirmed double game weeks for Arsenal, for Spurs and for Chelsea. And then in 37, we've got double game weeks for Man City, Manchester United, Newcastle, Brighton, Spurs, Chelsea. So Chelsea and Spurs both have double game weeks in 35 and 37, but remember Spurs blank in 34. But also we've got the double game week in 34 and then completely different teams double in 37. So that's where we're trying to kind of navigate that. How are we getting through from 34 to 37 if it's completely different players that double? So it's a really interesting landscape at the moment. And we've got some teams that have really nice fixtures. So for instance, Man City and Man United both have really nice fixtures now until the end of the season. Spurs do, but they've got the blank in 34. Chelsea have really nice fixtures, but they're Chelsea. So it's really interesting thinking about how we're going to navigate it going forward. Now, the next game week that we really have to navigate is game week 34. You don't have to go into detail now, but both of you two are not on free hit. You've been building for 34, haven't you?
We're all on different strategies here because I'm dead ending without using my wild card. Seb has wild carded, I'm assuming, with the plan to navigate the weeks. Similar to you, I think Seb's just done it late. No, you're free hitting, aren't you?
I'm free hitting, yeah.
So we've got three different viewpoints, which is
so
nice.
I'm on free hit. Rich is on dead ending and Seb is used his wild card and using the next couple of moves to build towards 34. Is that right, Seb?
Yeah, so I wildcarded and I was kind of torn between 34 and 37 for the bench boost, which is the last chip I've got left. Ended up not really optimizing for either as the deadline passed, but having flexibility between them. The main thing for me, I think, would be the goalkeepers. So I have Raya and Petrovic. So, like, if I were to do 34, I'd probably want Henderson, who I don't have. So, for me, it may make more sense. Chelsea have got their double in 37, two bench boosts in 37, because the rest of the squad can be moved around more easily. Whereas, like, if you're bench boosting, obviously, the one I think to nail nicely is the goalkeepers, because you can't really use those in the same way. So we'll see. But potentially 37 for the bench boost, which gives me a longer time to build up to it. And then probably a very nice 11. For 34, at least, because the team was, goalkeepers aside, probably slightly better set up for 34 because Sarabia, Eze, Munoz, for example, have the doubles and a decent enough fixtures. So I think then I would be using transfers to move out, say, Arsenal, Liverpool, whoever it is. And Spurs are the interesting one for me. I only have Pedro Porro, no Son. I didn't have Son before the wildcard. I had Madison because of money, and then I didn't bring Son in on. Well, sorry, I did, and then went to Saka. And we'll probably cover it later. But I'm not that hot on Spurs' double, especially following a blank. So I'd want Son for that 37 double and then 38 has Sheffield United. But if Richarlison is playing up front at that point, I'm wondering how desperate Son is rather than just, say, Spurs coverage. But that's probably jumping ahead a bit.
Yeah, no, I like it, though. This is the thing. This is where we're all trying to navigate these next kind of, you know, what we got? 6 game weeks, isn't it? That's all we've got left. So that's what we're trying to do, is trying to navigate through it. And it's interesting. 34 is the biggest obstacle we've got coming up next. It's only 2 game weeks away. And as we look at 34, we're going to be looking at the projection for the each position, which players are projected to get the most points in 34. So if you are building towards 34, these are the players that you should probably be investing in. And if you are free hit on 34, these are probably the players that are going to be in your team. And if you're someone like Rich, who's dead ending into 34, you're probably looking at these players, but then you don't have to worry about them after that because you're going to be completely changing them with your wild card. Now, what I'm going to do for each one, I'm going to work down it, and then I'm just going to ask you to who your kind of favourite picks are for 34. And also thinking about 33 a little bit too, if you obviously have to invest in them now. So Raya's top. I don't think that's any surprise with the fact they've got two quite nice fixtures in 34 and they're the best defence in the league. Then it's Pickford, then Saar, then Henderson, Neto, Gurabic, which I don't think many people will be going for because he can't even take a goal kick at the moment. Kelleher, no guarantee Kelleher's going to play both games because Alisson could be back by then. Onana. And then we're starting to get into the single game week players, aren't we? Which is Onana, Martinez, Flecken. So as we're looking through these players there, Seb, if I go to you first, Raya stands out there as the top in terms of projections. Would you be going for Raya, or would you think that people are going to be going for Triple Arsenal elsewhere, so you'd be looking for another keeper?
I think that's the only reason not to go Raya. I've had Raya, kept him on the wild card, and had him before the wild card. I think I wild carded him in last time. So I've had him for a very, very long time. I remember when he was just taking the place off Ramsdale and we weren't sure which way it would go. I remember going Raya, but picking a goalkeeper that would back him up nicely. And I think that worked out in my favour, although would have liked a few more clean sheets. There were a few unfortunate ones. But I think in isolation, Raya's probably one of the best Arsenal picks, because nice to have a goalkeeper, decent price. But because you've got Saka, Odegaard, the two centre-backs, potentially some other ones as well, like Havertz, I'd understand why people didn't go Raya.
Mm.
So I do, and I think double defence is smart, but it doesn't have to be Raya.
Yeah. I mean, Rich, if you were... So, for instance, you're wildcarding straight away after the double. Would you be investing in Raya now? Or would you think, actually, there's some other upside elsewhere if you were going triple Arsenal elsewhere on your team?
As in, you don't have three Arsenal at the moment?
Yeah, so if you already had three Arsenal or you wanted it elsewhere, who else would you be picking instead of Raya?
As in my goalkeeper?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I'm not that keen on Raya. Unless, of course, you've already got him, like Seb, then obviously you're not going to sell. I think so. It's going to be Henderson or Pickford if you're dead-ending into 34.
Yeah.
I mean, I just looked at the ticker, just looked at the scout ticker sorted by defensive. And it's funny because Sheffield United are third. They do have Burnley and Man United, but you're not going to go there, are you? Like, I couldn't. Not after watching, you know, gift Darwin that goal. And it feels like one where could the goalkeeper change again? Like, I genuinely don't know, but there's a chance, isn't there?
Yeah, there is a chance at least.
Whereas at least with Henderson, we know that Johnston's out.
Yeah.
I believe he's out for the season. Yeah, because he's missing the Euros as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it would be Pickford or Henderson. Mm. And I guess that's... I mean, it's personal preference. There's a lot of luck. The only bad thing with Pickford is obviously in the double, one of the fixtures is Liverpool.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, when you look at Palace, I mean, they've got Liverpool this week, haven't they? So,
yeah, Palace isn't nice to invest in right now. I think on a free hit is fine.
But just if you're going for the next two, possibly then you go for Pickford. You know, if you have to play him this week, because yeah, it's Chelsea away, but there's save points there.
I think strategy is a big thing here as well, because when I was looking at it, a lot of my answers are probably going to be based on bench boost, because that's what I was thinking about 34. Mm-hmm. So like I say, two goalkeepers, Raya and Henderson, looked lovely to me. Then say Gabriel and Saka, because also that carried forward quite nicely. You then lose your Palace. Obviously, goalkeepers are easier to rotate, so on and so forth. If you, say, didn't wildcard like me, but weren't bench boosting this coming week, you possibly have double Arsenal defence, single midfield, which I think is the most common combination. But I'm probably not Raya. Then if you are, say, free hitting in 34, that's probably one of the only scenarios where people might be tempted to go double midfield for Arsenal and single defence. We'll obviously get onto midfielders. I think there are some great options. But just talking about Arsenal, I think that's a combination you might end up with on free hit.
Yeah. And Seb, if you had to keep this keeper until the end of the season, who would you be picking? So if you had to, because Petrovic has got the fixtures in terms of he's got the quantity of fixtures coming up because he's obviously got the double-double, but their defence has been absolutely terrible recently. So would you be going for Petrovic or would you be going for, say, a Raya, where Arsenal are clear in terms of their defensive underlying stats this year and at least you know you're going to get a few clean sheets, whereas Petrovic, yes, he's got the quantity of fixtures, but, you know, he hasn't got the quality of them and he can't keep clean sheets against Sheffield United.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, you just named my two goalkeepers, mate. So Raya being like my first choice,
yeah.
As in, you know, has a double, of course, as well. So has good fixtures. It's not just because Arsenal are good, but feels like the baseline choice for just best defence in the league and okay fixtures. And then Petrovic was there for those doubles. So when Chelsea had those doubles, I wanted access to another Chelsea player. Very easy to do with the goalkeeper and a nice price too. But I think that's kind of a strategy in together. If you just had to pick one to go all the way through, yeah, Raya's fine. But you possibly can do better because of how the doubles and stuff are coming. Hence, people look at Chelsea, but then you lose maybe this is the strength of an Arsenal defence. So I think in that scenario, you know, mentioned Henderson for 34, but then maybe not going forward. Maybe Pickford. So yeah. Chelsea this week, Forest at home. Liverpool is the other match that week, but it's a double. Then Brentford home, Luton away, Sheffield United home, Arsenal the last day. So last day is tough, but could be, yeah, fingers crossed, 2 out of 3 clean sheets in the last 4 without Arsenal there. So maybe someone like that. And obviously does have double 34 as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. And Rich Kelleher as well, which I mentioned him a little bit just a minute ago. Is he too risky to invest in now, especially if you want him for both games in 34? Or do you think, you know, this is kind of being blown out a little bit?
I mean, money's not the only situation I could see you'd even consider it if you don't have him already would be if you're dead ending into 34. Because obviously, pending, you know, any Alisson news. So not really. No, because even the one thing with dead ending 34 as well is a lot of people are going to be selling Son because obviously he blanks. And a lot of people might consider selling Haaland as well for 1 week. So money's not going to be an issue like at all. There'd be no like financial reason to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just don't see why you'd even go there. I think most people I know that have got him are just hoping that Alisson's going to be out to the double.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it's maximising with goalkeepers. I think it's just maximising fixtures. I know people had a go last year that I talked about too much because, yeah, you know, there was all those Brighton doubles, but it really is. And yeah, if you're confident Petrovic keeps his place, which, I mean, maybe people aren't. We've got to see what happens with Sanchez. Look at what Kepa did last year. The goalkeepers, there's so much randomness. It just takes, you know, one lucky clean sheet and you've got double digits in a double with another game to go. So basically, I'm saying to try and be lucky. You just want to have as many goalkeeper fixtures as possible. And then you can make the narrative after. Because I remember Kepa last year, there was all this narrative, oh, he's great passing out from the back. And that's why he gets the bonus. And the fact was, he just got very, very lucky. He made a lot of saves and went on crazy hot streak.
I think, like, we often talk about goalkeepers in doubles. And I wonder if their points are sort of the most tightly correlated. And I don't mean they get the most points, but they sort of variance away the least from number of fixtures. Because when most your points come from clean sheets and then hoping to make a few saves, with obviously very little chance of doing something crazy like scoring a goal, getting an assist, getting lots of bonus points in a row, as Rich said, more fixtures equals higher chance of clean sheet and more ability to make saves. Obviously, that goes for every player. But say someone like Salah, in any given week, he scores a hat-trick and his points then are, you know, massively variance away from the number of fixtures he had. Whereas a goalkeeper is never going to hit those highs. But I think, therefore, double the fixtures, probably double the points.
We had it with Areola. There was a couple of weeks ago when he saved that penalty. I saw a lot of people sharing that he was, I think he became the top scoring keeper, or he was very, very close to it. But when you actually looked at it, obviously West Ham have been horrific defensively. He just had 2 penalty saves.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, yeah, you could say, I had Areola all season. It's, you know, that was, you know, I knew that was going to happen. But really, we picked him because he was cheap and he happened to save a couple of penalties.
Yeah. But if you can get it right with keepers, like you were just saying, like, it's crazy. Was it Ward for Leicester not that long ago?
He did it, didn't he?
Yeah, he went on that ridiculous run. And you just think, yeah, it could be the difference between a red and a green arrow each week, can't it? But you just need to hit it right and just hope that it goes good. But
yeah, and just maximise fixtures and pick them. Another reason I'm not slagging off Raya, but another reason I wouldn't consider going Raya is because we've obviously got Gabriel and Saliba who are absolutely nailed.
Yeah.
Like 100% nailed in that back line. So keepers are quite good when you've got rotation risk teams as well.
Mm.
Like where you're not confident someone's going to play twice. Like maybe Edison will become, you know, if and when he's back. I think he might actually be back in training.
Yeah.
Like he can be a bit safer. Obviously, a lot of people have been stung by him in the past.
So before we move off keepers then, I'm going to do this for each position. Seb, yeah, if you had to say, this is my playing goalkeeper for game week 34, who do you think it would be? Who would be your number one choice? Don't think about your team. Who would be your number one choice?
That's still David Raya.
Right. And Rich?
I'm going to go Pickford because I like the Palace attackers.
Interesting.
And as in, so that's why I wouldn't go Henderson. Do you see?
I get that.
Otherwise, there's some random logic there, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Right, moving on to the defenders then. So This is their projected points. Remember, this is projected if they are going to play those minutes as well. So I say that because Trent is top. So Trent is clear at the top as well. 7.9 projected points. Then down a point is Gabriel. Gabriel and Saliba are extremely close there with Ben White in fourth. So Gabriel, Saliba and White, second, third and fourth. Followed by Robertson, Virgil van Dijk, Tarkowski, Branthwaite, Mikalenko. So all those Everton boys are fairly high up there. Bradley... Obviously, those Bradley and Trent points, you wouldn't expect both of them to get those points. Then Anderson, 8, Nori, who would be interesting because obviously he went off injured at the weekend. Zinchenko, Mitchell. Come on, Mitchell. Munoz, Konate, Gehi, Kilman, Dalot, Richards. And then it just keeps going on, basically. It's not that hard to believe that there's three Arsenal in the top four and three Liverpool in the top six. But Everton's quite interesting following on from there. So, Rich, if I go to you first this time, who's kind of standing out for you here as to players that maybe you've already got and they're locked into your team for 34, or some players that you find maybe interesting on the projections there that you think it'd be interesting to take a swing at one of these?
I think the ridiculous one is Trent.
Yeah.
Because I just don't see a world where he plays both. Because, I mean, it's less than 2 weeks away now, this double. And I just don't see, there's a few players I'm worried about, and he's one of them. And like I said earlier, when money's not going to be a problem for those of us dead-ending. But I just don't see why you'd go for Trent over Van Dijk.
Hmm.
And obviously, I'm keenly monitoring that Trent, you know, when he returns to training or not, because it's meant to be this week in some part. That's what Klopp said. Because obviously, as a Bradley owner, but then even Bradley's not, you know, absolutely nailed, even if Trent remained out. So, yeah, I think Trent's not going to be popular at all. And I think that could be one where I think it'd be very hard if you're on free hit 34 and you know he's in training to not just chuck Trent in.
Yeah, especially on a free hit. It would be tempting, wouldn't it? I mean,
yeah, it would. It would. I don't know how you're going to resist.
I mean, if he is back, what are the chances of, say, someone on a free hit? So like me, what are the kind of benefits of going with a Van Dijk over Trent? Because Van Dijk obviously does have attacking threat. And I mean, you saw that against United. We had about three people on him for every set piece. But you've got someone like Van Dijk who is 100% going to play both of those games in the double game week. Trent, you've got the upside, but he might not play both if he is back. I mean, surely if it's just for 1 week, do you go for the upside or do you go for the definite minutes?
I always used to be so convinced that the upside was these attacking wingbacks, you know, Trent, Alonso, all of this. But I mean, it's starting to look like, isn't it, like with Gabriel and Saliba, just playing that boring long game. And I know it's just 1 week.
Yeah.
But the upside is you get two games. We saw his attacking threat. It always seems to happen in a double as well. He's done it multiple times. I haven't got the stats in front of me, but Trent is more of an assister, isn't he? So I wouldn't be shocked. And I hate to make numbers up. I'm actually going to check. I think Van Dijk's got more of a goal threat than Trent.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Seb's agreed, so I'm not even going to check.
I would have thought so, yeah, because of his attacking set pieces.
So that's the upside, isn't it? Like, Trent's very good at, he'd nick an assist and a bonus.
Yeah.
And get that 12-pointer. And, yeah, maybe he'd do that twice and get 24. But I just highly doubt. I wouldn't want to commit to it now anyway. We're going to be waiting to the last minute to see if we go, Trent. And I'll be surprised.
I've got quite a few questions. I'm going to try and keep them all in my head. So, Seb, we haven't mentioned Robertson there. Any temptation with Robertson if you were, say, on a free hit in 34 or if you wanted to invest in Liverpool or...
Other than the obvious, a little bit cheaper, still attacking return, providing fitness, blah, blah, blah. I don't think massively because it probably requires Trent to definitely be out and then for you to go against, which is pretty solid arguments there for Van Dijk. So probably not. Although free hit teams take punts. If I was on free hit and punting, though, I'd be interested in, say, no Liverpool defenders and triple midfield slash attack. Especially if you were, say, going the double Arsenal defence. If you've got Gabriel Saliba, maybe you want to go and grab a Palace and an Everton defender. There's already four players in your team. You could avoid all of this Liverpool conversation. Go get Diaz, Salah and Darwin or something, for example.
Yeah, so that's the other question I was going to have. And I'll put it to you first, Seb. So if you were on a free hit, if you were thinking, what is the best three defenders I can have for 34? So if you were building towards it, or if you're looking at free hit, double Arsenal defence seems a lock, I would say. Maybe you can argue against that. And then what? A Liverpool defender. We're not saying Ake Nori there, apparently, even though Ake Nori's been probably one of the most informed players in the league in terms of defenders. Would you say you need to get an Ake Nori in, or do you think that double Arsenal and a Liverpool is kind of the way everybody's going to go?
I mean, if you're playing three at the back, so not bench boosting, basically, because I think you play three at the back, don't you? It depends on, obviously, your midfielders, forwards, even goalkeeper. You know, at some point, you're going to have to choose, do you prefer an Arsenal, you know, double in midfield or defence or what have you? In isolation, the best defence, as this table quite clearly shows, yeah, probably contains two Arsenal, one Liverpool, or two Liverpool, one Arsenal. And I think the former of that combination makes the most sense. I think overall, though, the most points available to you are by trying to get more Liverpool and Arsenal attackers.
Mm.
One thing I did just want to mention while we've got this table up that I think is interesting, and you'll see change in a minute, is we spoke about goalkeepers, their points being very highly correlated to number of fixtures. This entire table, but for Dalot at Man United, is doublers, I think. In a minute, you will see in the midfielders and forwards, yeah, of course, it's dominated by doublers, but more non-doublers start sneaking in.
Yeah.
So again, I wonder if, free hit or not, the place to get those doublers in, I guess if you're free hitting, actually you have a full team of doubles, so ignore that. The place to get the doublers in if you're not free hitting is defenders and goalkeepers, whereas say like a, top of my head, Bruno Fernandes doesn't double but think has a good fixture, that's an easier single game weeker to carry, whereas defenders and goalkeepers, there really aren't many single game week options, at least according to the Rate My Team tool.
Yeah. And Rich, we haven't even mentioned Everton there. Everton, you know, are creeping into the top 10 in terms of defenders to own apparently that week. If you wanted to go for triple Arsenal attack, triple Liverpool attack, you're probably going to have to pick an Everton defender in there. I mean, Branthwaite has proven very popular. Mikalenko and Tarkowski are also here in terms of what they could do. You pick Pickford as your favourite keeper. Any kind of merit for going in one of those? I mean, they're very cheap, aren't they? Especially Branthwaite, yeah. 4.2.
I've noticed they're really high up the models. I mean, this is obviously a model that relatively high, you know, considering, you know, their level with some of the Liverpool defenders.
Mm.
I don't fully get it. Like, I know both games are at home, so that's probably why, to be fair. Yeah. But obviously, they've got the Merseyside derby against Liverpool. Don't love it. I do like Pickford because obviously there's save points. You can see a lot of save points.
Yeah.
And you've got the home games as well. But I don't know, saving the free hit to have Everton defenders.
I think their defense I don't know about that. Sneakily better than expected. I remember early on in the season, knowing that their numbers were better. There are, according to FBRF, they are fifth.
It feels like it's been declining.
Arsenal, City, Liverpool, Palace, Everton. So
Brighton.
Nice to have Palace and Everton in this double.
I mean,
just behind them, so it goes Chelsea, then Brighton.
If you weren't on free hit then, and obviously you're on dead end, so if you weren't on free hit, so for instance, like Seb, if he had a defender injured, is Branthwaite the best way to go in terms of freeing up a bit of money, 4.2 million, and you want them till the end of the season? He's got the double. Is that the worst way you can go for 4.2, or would you rather get someone like an Ait Nouri or a Munoz or a Mitchell? What do you think? That's for that Rich, means, by the way. Sorry, still for Rich, yeah.
Oh, that's for me. I'd really want the double Arsenal defence. And I know that's really, really boring. And I have been thinking about it and trying to put myself in someone's shoes who's on free hit. And I just think you're taking quite a bit. I mean, you have to have Gabriel. I think that's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And then I'll just want that second Arsenal defender. Their numbers are... I mean, look over the last 10, look over the season. They're like literally incredible. And I can get that Havertz and stuff we will talk about in a bit. It's very tempting, but I'd want the two Arsenal. I mean, if not, and then when I look at Palace, I see that they're really good attacking fixtures. So I wouldn't really want Munoz. I think I'd want Van Dijk and the two Arsenal.
Okay, fair enough.
If I'm totally honest, if I had to pick another one, I guess you go the Everton. I guess you could go Munoz, couldn't you? Because I guess people aren't going to want to go triple Palace attack because of risk about Elise. I'm just trying to think, you know, which teams would you be blocking yourself from an attacker? Yeah. And I think triple Palace attack is actually viable, which I'm sure we'll get onto.
I've got Munoz and I quite like him. Like, obviously, it's a squad thing as well.
Yeah.
But I quite like him. You say, you know, obviously you'd rather have Palace attack.
I was thinking more free hit, to be fair.
It's fair. I guess, yeah, at that point, we come back to the whole you play three. If you have Munoz or Branthwaite, they probably sit on your bench anyway, so doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I, you know, in terms of attacking defenders, Munoz does get pretty far forward, does look pretty involved for a Palace team that aren't that productive in front of goal. So I wouldn't hate his chances of an attacking return. Speaking of which, I need to correct myself from a moment ago. Rich, you asked Van Dijk or Trent had a XG over the season. Per 90, Trent 0.1, something like that. And then Van Dijk was 0.08. So 0.02 less. Not much in it, but Trent does have a higher goal threat.
Wait, you said Trent was 0.01?
Yeah. 0.1, sorry.
I was
falling over my words. Yeah. 0.1 versus Van Dijk is 0.08. So just edges him.
Okay, so it's similar.
So just before we move off defenders, Seb, you've got an injured Lascelles on your bench. Not you, but somebody does. Yeah. They've got an injured Lascelles on their bench. They need a cheap defender. Are you going for Branthwaite? Are you going for Ait Nouri? Or are you going for Munoz Mitchell if they don't have a free hit in 34?
So, I mean, speaking of attacking, right, Ait Nouri looked like a striker in that match where he scored a goal for a bunch of it. I think I might just, based on that scenario, just edge Everton. Because also I'm then probably carrying that defender for the rest of the season, right? Because it's not a free hit, it's an injured Lascelles on my bench. And I think, similar with Pickford, Palace's fixtures aren't awful, but I think people will move away. I think you can carry that Everton defender through the end of the season. Good, your good defensive numbers so far and decent enough fixtures if you can line them up to miss the tough ones.
Yeah, nice. And Rich, if you had to pick, so most people, if they're on free hit or if they're not, I think most people are looking at three defenders rather than four. Who are your three optimal defenders that you would pick if you were free hitting in that week? So they're the three ones you would want to own.
If you're free hitting in 34?
Or if you're building towards it. Like, who are the three that you're like, yeah, this is the three I would like to own in 34?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gabriel's an absolute no-brainer.
Yeah.
I think I'd still like, I mean, I guess if you're using transfers, maybe there's going to be more routes where actually going someone like Havertz makes more sense. Because Saliba is quite expensive, but I do still really like Saliba. I think Van Dijk for safety, but we need to find out what's going on with Trent. Yeah. I think you're not going to risk Konate or anyone like that. So it's basically Van Dijk, or you're trying to risk that right back spot depending on the Trent news. I think Robertson's fitness, I just don't know if he's going to play twice in the double. Yeah. And as you know, I had him early in the season and I thought he was brilliant. You know, he was on corners at that time. I don't really fancy that. Munoz does seem fun. I mean, let's be honest, none of the defenders are that exciting. And I think coming out of 34, we're all going to be looking at Newcastle defenders again.
Yay.
Yeah, I know. So that whole combo, as in this list of players we're talking about now, I don't think they're going to be season keepers because we will literally be looking at like Gusto again. We're going to be looking at the Newcastle defenders and probably Porro is going to become more popular again because of his goal yesterday. Yeah. So I think it's very, very short term. And with so many doubles, you're not really, I mean, looking at like Sheffield United, Everton have got Sheffield United in 37, but that's a big double game week. So you're probably not going to play like your Branthwaite or something.
Could be good on a bench.
Maybe it could be a bench boost option. Yeah, if you haven't got many chips left, but.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to some midfielders then. So midfielders, this is where it gets quite interesting because there are quite a few here. And Seb's already said here as well that there are some players that kind of sneak in here that have single game weeks as well, which is quite interesting. So you got Salah at the top, who is comfortably clear at the top. He's 2 points above the person in second. So he's on 11.74, and then Saka is in second with 9.77. Then a point below Saka is Odegaard with 8.67. Then Eze and Elise, the two Crystal Palace boys, come in fourth and fifth. Martinelli, Ben Brereton-Diaz is next on the table, followed by McNeil, Sarabia, Havertz, Huang. Hopefully he's back by then. All the signs are saying that he should be. Luis Diaz, Bruno, single game week player for Man United, who's got Sheffield United that week. McAllister, Decore, Szoboszlai, Rice, and it kind of goes on from there. See, I'm looking here, and I don't know about you, Seb, whether you're on free hit, whether you're not on free hit, a lot of this just picks itself, doesn't it? Like Salah, Saka, Crystal Palace mid, you know, a lot of it does kind of pick itself. And Sarabia's obviously kind of been in quite a few teams because of penalties and things like that as well. Although it's more exciting in midfield and the projected points are higher, I don't think people are going to be deviating an awful lot in this week, are they?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably where more gambles are available, but it's also where the safest picks are also available. So there's a tough balance there. I think how many you have may depend on your defence or more likely your forward line if you go three or two at top. I think free hit or otherwise, everyone will have Salah, Saka for sure. Then there's probably lots of Spurs, so obviously free hitters can get away from that. I think at that point, Eze and Sarabia, for me, Sarabia, look great. If he scores me a goal, I'll sing his name however he likes. But I think Eze and Sarabia are very nice choices, especially for the price as well in this double. I've got them obviously both in my team, and I think for a free hit they make sense, with that caveat of depends what you're doing elsewhere, because then you just start looking at, am I having Odegaard if you don't have Gabriel and Saliba? I think great pick if you don't have those two. Do you maybe introduce a Luis Diaz and so on? So beyond those first two, and then at least one of Eze and Sarabia, good. I think that's where you have to start asking questions. In isolation, obviously, Odegaard looks great here as well. It just comes back to what other Arsenal players do you have?
Yeah, and it's interesting Havertz is slow low on here because, Rich, if Havertz is still playing up top and if he plays both of those fixtures in the double, surely he's the way to go for Arsenal.
I mean, again, like when we talked about defenders, I memorised, so on this model, like Gabriel and Saliba, I think they were about seven points projected. Yeah. So yeah, then you look at Havertz and he's, what, 7.09. So it's all really close, you know, when you're looking at those Arsenal midfielders. So I think it's just personal preference. I prefer the defenders. And a lot of it might just be risk management, because obviously Arsenal are over 100% effective ownership for defenders. And now they're actually keeping clean sheets. It's not just us talking about, oh, their numbers are really good, let's have two defenders. People are actually going, oh, they've kept three in a row.
Yeah.
So the EO is shooting up. So I do think if you're free hitting, for example, you are taking a risk not having two Arsenal defenders. Mm. And again, that's personal preference, isn't it, with risk? Because yeah, having Havertz, I admit, watching the game, having Havertz is going to be a lot more fun than having Saliba, for example.
Yeah, until Saliba gets you 12 points.
But yeah, but yeah, it's just interesting when you see it like this, though, isn't it? Because you see like 7 points projected for Havertz, seven for Saliba. Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah. This is obviously across two games as well.
Yeah.
And obviously, we don't know what the minutes are set for Havertz. Like,
true.
And behind the scenes,
they're probably lower than they probably should be potentially. Because obviously the last couple of weeks, Havertz has been pretty nailed, hasn't he? Like, you'd be expecting, what, maybe 140 minutes, 150 minutes over
Yeah,
those
I mean, you could be right, actually, because, yeah, you look at Odegaard and Saka on here, and obviously they're 8.67 and 9.77. So maybe Havertz's minutes are set a little low. So, yeah, if you're really bullish on his minutes, yeah, then it probably is a no-brainer to just gamble on Havertz over the second Arsenal defender.
Speaking of being bullish on minutes, Seb, I feel like we've kind of gone full circle here, because I swear about 20 weeks ago we were having this same discussion. Eze or Elise, if you wanted to pick between those two lads for the double game week, and I'm saying this now because I do think it's very, very sensible to wait until 34 if you wanted to invest in Elise, because he's only just coming back. And we've seen it before where you can invest and he gets injured straight away. But Eze or Elise? Elise, we've seen, probably has penalties over Eze when he's back. But obviously he's got those issues of the fact he's only just coming back. If you were invested, who would you be going with? I mean, you could easily say both if you wanted to. But if you were going for one of them, who would you be going with, do you think?
I've gone for Eze, but I had to make the call, you know, a couple of weeks earlier. And I needed that player to play as well. I've got a couple of points since. Seeing Elise come back against Man City from purely an FPL perspective, because in real life, brilliant player, I was almost slightly disappointed. Because like you said, as soon as he came on, I was like, oh, there goes Eze's penalties if he's on the field. We don't know for sure, but last time they were both available, Elise did look to have those penalties. So if Elise's minutes were assured, that probably pushes me to Elise, despite owning Eze for reasons mentioned. But you'd need those minutes. I think Eze is, again, assuming Eze doesn't get injured, Eze is a sure starter and also sure to get more minutes in total in the match than, say, Elise, even if Elise did start. So I think, as you've said, you need to wait until you have as much information as possible, press conferences, training, Twitter leaks, whatever it is, so you can make a good call on minutes and then go with your preference. The third option, of course, is maybe too much uncertainty has been thrown in there with Elise's minutes and then Eze having penalties or not, that you look elsewhere. You go for, say, Sarabia and get another Arsenal, Havertz, maybe, as you and Rich were discussing.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Rich, as well.
I wanted to talk about Elise.
Oh, go on. Talk about Elise. I know you love him.
Yeah. I don't think we can go for him.
Really?
There was those free quotes. Hit. I mean, on free hit, obviously, you can wait till the last minute. Because part of the reason I was hesitant on bringing Sarabia in this week was because I wanted to keep a spot for Eze and I wanted to keep a spot for Elise. And then there was these quotes from Glasner, and it was, I mean, I won't read out his full quote, but he's just made the point that he was out for 8-9 weeks injured Elise, and it's the fourth time this season. So he's been more in rehab than on the pitch. And then he said, we would give him time to find his best performance, to get his quality back. Everyone needs rhythm. Everyone needs minutes, needs training. Goes on and on and on. It just, again, like I mentioned with Trent, you know, it's less than 2 weeks now to this double game week. And it's obviously that was planned, wasn't it? He was going to get 15, 20 minutes at the end. Yeah, I just couldn't put enough on it to not go Sarabia now, just on the off chance that I'll go Elise. I mean, maybe on free hit, there'd be further information. But I'd be shocked if he got like 70 plus minutes in two games.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Whereas we'd be expecting that from Eze, wouldn't we? So when Elise isn't on the pitch, you're expecting Eze to be on penalties, obviously. And even if Elise is on the pitch, we're not 100% certain that Eze won't take a few anyway. No. But I think if you're looking at investing, I mean, personally, I wouldn't be investing now anyway, because obviously they've got Liverpool. Is it Liverpool this week? I think it is.
It is. So, yeah, that's why it wasn't a great time to buy. Because you're just benching them like Seb is with Eze.
Yeah.
There are some people, though, that have two free transfers, dead end in 34, nothing to do. So then maybe, you know, if you're going to buy Eze or Elise this week and bench them, Eze 100%.
Yeah. I think Palace were you picked them a couple of weeks ago, like I did. What was it?
You wild-carded, didn't you? Yeah.
And I got an assist out of Eze. I got a goal ruled out. And then benched him for City. So, you know, I got the two fixtures I needed. I then got Sarabia's points this week. I think I benched Sarabia's points last week as well, but then fortunately got them off the bench.
Oh.
I forget how, but I got a bit jammy there. So I think those two worked lovely for me, but that was the decision I made in 30. You know,
they're
three
a stash, aren't they?
Ago, whereas if you're making the decision now, it's a free hit one. So we're obviously talking about 34 here for the free hit. This is game week 33. I don't think, as Richard said, you're using a free transfer on them for 34. You're probably using a free hit spot in them on them in a week.
Yeah.
What's interesting, I just looked at on Fantasy Football Scout on the Premier League, like penalty and set piece takers, and it was updated recently. They've got obviously Eze first penalty taker, then Mateta, then Edouard. So maybe need to look into that a bit more, because I do remember there being quite a debate at the time with Eze and Elise who's on them.
Elise definitely took them when he was back fit.
He took one, didn't he? Yeah. I just can't remember the scenario now. They must have both been on the pitch.
I think Eze was,
Pretty sure
there was one. There was one where Elise took when Eze was on the pitch. But like you say, it wasn't... Oh, you've said it. I don't need to repeat it.
Yeah.
Right, but fitness might just make Eze... If you're picking now, Eze, you've just got to go there. And then three hits, pray.
Last question then. Well, I say last question before I ask you who you'd be picking. And this one's to Rich, because you're dead-ending in 34... The player I'm going to ask you about isn't even on this table, but he's one of the highest scoring midfielders in the game. Biggest bargain we've seen for quite a while in Cole Palmer. Are you selling Cole Palmer? And then getting him back in 35 when you wildcard?
Personally, no. My whole plan is, because I wildcarded him in game week 10. So it was like, what, 4.9?
Yeah.
So no, I'm just benching him. Like, okay. Son's going to be leaving, but yeah, Palmer's not. I can't see a scenario you would want to burn that much money.
So you wouldn't be tempted to, say, swap him for an Eze for the double game week?
And then I don't see a scenario you'd need to, because you can just sell Son. Because Son blanks.
Ah, fair, okay.
You'd just sell Son, wouldn't you? Because Palmer, you're definitely going to want back, because he's got the double-double and he's Palmer. So
yeah, no, fair enough. I thought I'd ask, because he's not even on this table.
No, so. It's a good question, because I was looking at, is it worth me selling him and then keeping, like, to play five midfielders?
Yeah.
But it's really not. The only way I'd be tempted is if I was like, oh, actually, Elise is a good pick.
Hmm.
But then I'd be benching Haaland.
Yeah.
So,
I think this comes down to free hit versus non-free hit again, right? If you were free hitting, obviously you wouldn't have Palmer, but also you wouldn't lose the money that Rich has got in him. Whereas Rich isn't free hitting, so not only is there the money question, whatever, but he has a bench slot available, which I can fill. So if you were bench boosting, that's maybe where you'd be the most tempted to sell Palmer without a free hit. And then I guess whether you can get the money back and spend the transfer to get him back in. But seeing as everyone probably has a Son, Richarlison, a Maddison, something like that, and Palmer, if you're bench boosting in 34, you probably do need to do something with one of those players, which involves a round trip of transfers.
I've seen some people doing the hokey cokey. I've seen some people that are getting rid of Palmer just for that 1 week to bring it back again. But I think it's people that maybe got rid of him last time. Yeah, exactly. And so they don't have that value tied up. So, yeah, it's just an interesting one. But, Seb, while we finish off on midfielders then, pick your favorite four. Let's go for four for the for 34. So if you were going for 34, who's your kind of I want to have these four for the double game week?
So this would kind of be, I guess, like a free hit.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Salah, Saka, Eze, Sarabia, because I have Arsenal defense. If I don't have Arsenal defense, I grab an Arsenal one.
Yeah, fair enough. And Rich,
it's basically the same as Seb. It's Salah, Saka, Eze. I think the fourth one's a bit up more up for debate. And yeah, if you don't go the two Arsenal defenders, you go for like Odegaard or you go for Havertz. And I'd love Elise to be an option. Also, there could be, I mean, over Sarabia, maybe if Wang's back, for example, you might go there. But I think
Havertz is the one. It really is. Like, he's playing up top for the team that's going for the win. Like, it just seems so mental to not
but
go for
the
him.
The defensive numbers.
Yeah, like. No, I know. It's crazy. And it's, you know, is he really going to play both games in that double game week? That's the thing. Like, he does seem nailed on in that team now, but they do have options. Like it's surely he's going to be rested at some point. I don't know. It's interesting.
I think it's one of those where you could be right. You could pick Havertz and he could get a goal and an assist and come away with, what, 14, 15 points. Mm. But Gabriel and Saliba could keep two clean sheets or score a goal and get some bonus and also come away with 15 points. And I think both scenarios could be correct, you know?
Mm. There's also the alternative. You could go Havertz, but you could also go Odegaard. So
yeah.
It's not even a clear one there, is there? Clear midfielder after Saka.
The biggest difference as well, I suppose, is that there's just no other defenders. Like, you're going double Arsenal defence because the other defenders are just dreadful, aren't they? Whereas midfielders, you can kind of fancy yourself to pick a player that could cover what Havertz could do, if that makes sense. Like, you go Eze and Elise and they might do the same as what Havertz would. Or whereas in defence, it's so hard to pick another defender that's going to do what Gabriel and Saliba can probably do.
We don't want to talk too much about Arsenal defenders, but I did see over the last 10 game weeks, I think Man City have conceded over one XG per game. Hmm. And Arsenal have been running at like 0.38 or something.
They were last time.
I thought it was lower than 0.5. I guess it depends what game week span you cherry pick from. But I mean, it's not just, like we talked earlier the season, that this is as good as City's defence.
Yeah,
Their defence is better. Arguably better. It's out, so far this season, City's defence has been worse. Also, City have been doing that thing where they always concede a goal even with good defensive numbers, but it's been worse. Their XGA so far for the season on FBref is 30.1, whereas Arsenal is 21.3. So, you know, a solid 30% lower than Man City, which is comparable to the best Man City sides that we've seen in recent years in terms of numbers, let alone this season's Man City.
And then nailed, like, as in you're not playing like some kind of roulette at the moment.
And away from, like, you know, FPL and stats as well, you know, just sort of analysing football itself, Arsenal's out of possession approach is amazing. They're probably the best out of possession team in the world at the moment, just currently, I think.
It's interesting. Well, let's move on to some forwards then. And we are maybe going to have to pick up the pace a little bit because we're obviously talking about these, but it's good to talk about them. So this is exactly the same for forwards. Quite interesting, this one, who's top. So Solanke's top is 7.93 projected points for 34. Then it's Darwin. Then Mateta is in third, which I know it's the most I've seen Rich smile for weeks, seeing Mateta in third. Then Cunha, then Haaland. Haaland's still fifth, even though he doesn't have a double game week. Then Beto, Calvert-Lewin, Hoyland, Watkins, Semenyo. Semenyo, by the way, I think has got a bit of an illness at the moment. That's why he's been struggling for minutes recently, which was something interesting I got from my Bournemouth mate. Then Tony. Then McBurney, Fofana, Jesus, Unal. Yeah, and then it obviously goes from there. I was quite surprised to see Solanke this high up. I'm not going to lie. I mean, Rich, if I go to you first, I'm not that fussed about Solanke in the double game week, and yet he's top of this list.
Yeah, I mean, he's not my favourite player this season, is he? I missed his hat trick, and I've only just bought him, and he's not been doing much, has he? But I think he's. I mean, if you've got him, it's a no-brainer to keep him, and I think if you're free hitting, I think it's a no-brainer to have him, because you look at the other alternatives. I mean, it's funny actually, because Solanke has, we called him a 90-minute man on pens. He's obviously he's been subbed off early a couple of times, hasn't he, for this Unal. Like, so he's maybe not 90 minutes anymore. He's probably still near 85.
Yeah.
Something like that. But obviously he's on penalties, and he is nailed, even if we're not going to say he's 90-minute man. Whereas you look at what the alternatives, like Darwin, he's not a 90-minute man. He's definitely not on penalties. Mateta, again, I mean, a good minutes from what the Palace fans are saying. He's going to start every game. But, you know, he's not a 90-minute man and he's not first choice for penalties. And then there's fitness concerns over Cunha, and then Haaland's obviously only got a single game week. So, and then you're moving on to the Everton attackers.
Yeah.
So, exactly, yeah. So Solanke, I think, is a standout just because of what the other options are.
Mm. I mean, Seb, Darwin's in second there. Darwin, again, like, he came away from the United game. Like, obviously, he got the assist for the Diaz goal, but he still hasn't hit the heights in the last couple of weeks that we were hoping he would. He's done okay, hasn't he? Like, compared to some of the other strikers as well. But in a double game week, he'd be locked into most people's teams, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and I think he is, right? It's probably a Liverpool defender, Salah and Darwin, or maybe you're trying to sneak Diaz in there, but that might be over the defender rather than Darwin. Especially because I think maybe the forward positions is where there's the fewest options, or at least there's some good ones and then just some we're just not worried about. Like some people who picked Isak, I did not on my wildcard and I regret that, but some people have done wonderfully and obviously Isak's got great fixtures to come, but not this week. Haaland obviously gets to stay and makes up one of mine, but otherwise it probably is Solanke, Darwin, maybe Mateta for this double. But if you have Mateta, you're probably looking to get out quite soon, I think.
So you said Mateta there. Obviously, the big thing people are going to be thinking about is whether they go five in midfield or three up top. Now, there isn't a lot of options up top, to be perfectly honest. And it's probably just those top three that I would be looking at if I was on a free hit. Would you rather go for, like, say, if you're looking at those midfield slots, that fifth midfielder or the third striker, would you go Mateta over an Eze, Seb? Or would you want Mateta in?
I have to pass the Rich for a Mateta question. It's only
do you? That's fine. What do you think then, Rich? Would you go for Mateta over an Eze? Because obviously he doesn't have penalties, does he?
I mean, so the only reason, I mean, obviously I've gone for Mateta.
Yeah.
But the only reason I did it was purely money, because obviously I was trying to keep Son instead of keeping Foden. So that was like purely the only reason I've done it. And like I've mentioned before, when you get to 34, money's not going to be a problem. So I guess a lot of things, again, we go back to Elise. You know, I don't think he's going to be fit, but if he was fit, you'd go for Elise over Mateta and play five in midfield. Because if you're free hitting, you haven't got the keeping Palmer problem that some of us have. So I've completely lost my train of thought.
It's all right. Would you, obviously you've gone Mateta because you're building for it, aren't you? But if you had to pick out the two of them, who do you expect to score more points in the double game week?
Mateta and Elise.
Or Eze.
I mean, Eze would be my first shot. Honestly, Mateta was purely because of it worked for my budget. And Cunha, yeah, obviously isn't fully fit.
Yeah.
So that's it. I think I would want to go to... You're not going to have Haaland on a free hit, are you?
No, there's
going to be a question for those people like me that you've got Haaland. Would you do, you know, a free transfer? Would you do Haaland to Mateta? I feel that's going to be a question you're going to ask. I mean, that is tough. That doesn't feel right, does it? I mean, just looking at the projected points, Haaland's about 6, Mateta's about 7. So it's definitely not worth a hit, for example.
It's mad, isn't it?
I mean, even thinking about that, obviously he's not scored as many goals as he normally does. But I mean, I don't know if that sits right.
Seb, weeks ago, people were going, are you going to have Haaland on your free hit, Andy? Because obviously it's Haaland. And I said, no. People went, what? It's Haaland, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, well, no, he hasn't got a double game week, so I doubt I will. As always happens, you get closer to it and everybody's like, oh, yeah, I'm probably not going to get Haaland for that. On a free hit, I think, yeah, fair enough, you're not going to. If you were on a dead end like Rich or not, is there any temptation of maybe like take him out for a little bit or not? Obviously, he's got Luton at home this week as well.
You can probably get more utility out of your other transfers as well. So, yeah, you don't sell for Luton. Then if you had two free transfers, we're dead-ending like Rich, so not free hit, there's probably more you can do with your two free transfers. Like, is Mateta... let's assume the numbers here, the Rate My Team tool, which, again, like all models, is projection based on lots and lots of simulations. So this is kind of like a median score, I guess. But let's say it was perfectly correct and that Mateta was going to get, what, nearly 1.1 points more than Haaland, you can probably find a bigger difference somewhere else with those two free transfers. You know, your job is to spend those two free transfers and gain the most points possible. probably moving a Spurs midfielder to one of the midfielders we just mentioned is going to be your biggest priority in that example, and you'll gain much more than 1.1 points. And I think there's probably another move that gains you more than 1.1 as well. In the scenario that you can't find it, yeah, sure, but you want Haaland back for 37, and the fixtures up until 37 aren't terrible either, I don't think. So unless you're sort of wildcarding around this period, which some people may well be, I think Haaland is a decent enough hold because there are better opportunities elsewhere.
Yeah. So
free hit, just to say, free hit, totally with you. I'd understand people keeping him, but I wouldn't have him on a free hit just because you can optimise this week.
So who are your top two strikers for free hit for game week 34 then, Seb?
Oh, probably just the top two there. Solanke, Darwin.
Ooh. Rich?
Yeah, Solanke, Darwin, they'd be the top two. And then it really does become a bit tough. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, when we talk about defenders, you know, I do like the Palace fixtures for attack do look really good. I mean, it's West Ham at home and Newcastle at home. I mean, both of those teams have been leaking goals.
Yeah.
So there was something in my head a few weeks ago thinking, imagine having Mateta, Elise, Eze. How fun would that be?
It would be fun.
To watch that. But obviously there's concerns over Elise, and I mean, Mateta just scored a brilliant goal against City, which is going to, I think that's going to make people a bit more likely to buy him. But it just feels like it is a purely a dead end move because he's cheap.
I do like those Palace attackers, but third worst attack based on expected numbers so far this season.
New manager, good fixtures.
That, to be fair, that's a good point. New manager does help
and with Elise back as well.
Yeah, I mean, even if Elise just contributes,
like a triple and a double.
Yeah, even if Elise just contributes in both games, yeah, that's gonna boost their attacking numbers, isn't it? Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think it's Darwin and Mateta for me. I think they're the two. I don't know why I'm just cooler on Solanke in this one. Two away games as well. I think it's quite big for Bournemouth. And I'm not expecting a penalty. So it's, yeah.
I feel like that surprises me because like minutes, penalties, and I think just historical, quality is maybe the wrong word, but just historical data of like, you know, putting up FPL points. Solanke just wins all of those conversations. So if it's just the fixtures he's losing out on, I don't know if that's enough.
Has there been much about his... You remember he had this little knock for a while? Because I feel like I was looking at his numbers and since then they have been poor. Although he's been carrying that since the Spurs game, which was months ago now. So maybe reading too much into it.
But that's one of those that if we had perfect information, I would totally like be with you and make a move based on it. But it's one of those, even if we hear about Solanke carrying something, Mateta probably is as well. Like every footballer in the Premier League is... I say every, but the majority of them are getting, you know, painkilling injections after or before a match or receiving treatment for this, recovering from that, trying not to have this thing recur. No one is 100% fit. And so often because we hear about Solanke's, sure, it could be because it's more severe. And so it's valid. And as you suggest, we should take it into our thinking. But I'm always hesitant that, are we just hearing about it because we're hearing about it? And we're not hearing about the knock that Mateta is also carrying and is in exactly the same situation.
Right, so let's move on to Chelsea and Spurs. We're not going to talk about this for too long, but it's a lovely little table that that Seb's sorted out for us. So this is looking at Chelsea and Spurs assets, because if you are on free hit 34, you're probably going to be looking at getting some Chelsea or Spurs assets into your team. Now, before we do anything, I just want to ask Seb, how much should we be investing in Chelsea and Spurs before their double game week in 35? Because Chelsea defence is cheap, and a lot of people have been looking at Augusto, or Petrovic, for instance, but they can't keep clean sheets. Spurs have got nice attacking options, potentially, but obviously we've got very few limited spaces in attack, but their defenders also aren't keeping clean sheets. It seems to me that there's a kind of optimal number that you're going for here, but also, like, they've got, you know, two double game weeks, so is it just quantity over quality?
I mean, I think that's the thing, isn't it? When I was looking at my wild card, a lot of it came down to Chelsea and Spurs. And then it changed depending on if I was doing, you know, 34 bench boost, 37 bench boost, or if I was not wildcarding, you know, do I hold on to those players? If I wildcarded, what do I do with, say, Spurs? I had Porro and Son and then did Son to Saka. So I only have Pedro Porro, but I do have triple Chelsea. That being Gusto, Petrovic and Palmer, of course. Most of my reason for that, though, was basically how it worked for my squad over this period. So prices for Chelsea players are basically lovely. I think Rich has made this point in the past, right? They're brilliant. So that makes it very easy. I can bench them much more easily when I need to, say, than, for example, Son. I want to grab Spurs players for the 37 fixture. But I also think Chelsea's fixture, obviously they play each other, so it's Villa here versus, say, Arsenal. I think Chelsea's fixtures are better here than Spurs. Chelsea get to play Spurs at home. I'm not expecting either of those fixtures to be particularly great doubles. But I'm considering still just carrying Porro and not having anyone else until after this 35 period. But I think you asked to have some Chelsea and Spurs stuff tonight. I think the people it's more relevant for is not someone like me who wildcarded, so I got to make the choice soon, or someone maybe like Rich, who is dead-ending, and then I assume wildcarding out of that, so gets to make the choice right beforehand. This is maybe more relevant for those people who have maybe no Chelsea except from Palmer and are carrying triple Spurs, because that's been a good setup until recently. So do we keep carrying them? Do we transfer them out? I got rid of most of my Spurs. I don't know if I'd be getting rid of all of them now, maybe just benching, assuming that works with my strategy, so I'm not bench boosting in 34, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, you look at those two fixtures for both teams. So Chelsea have Aston Villa away, Spurs at home. Spurs have Arsenal at home, Chelsea away. None of those scream clean sheets to me. Yeah, I think that's where most people are going to be making their moves, is in terms of their, you know, goalkeepers try and get a bench boost started, or defender, whatever it is. I'm just looking at it and thinking, if you can get to an Arsenal defender instead of a Chelsea defender, I expect them to get way more points in the next, you know, until from now until the end of the season than Chelsea defenders. And I'm looking at attackers and just thinking, apart from Palmer and Son, who else are you really getting? I know you love Richarlison, so maybe you're going to talk to us a little bit about him, but I'm finding it really hard to pick other assets that I'd want to pick from these teams, and that gives me any kind of confidence.
Oh man, I've only just got rid of Richarlison, and I'll be looking at getting him back in a couple of weeks. Do you know what? These doubles are fascinating, because obviously, because Spurs blank.
Yeah.
So people are going to be, or have been, or going to be coming off of them. And I think they're going to be, they're the kind of doubles, because they're so bad, that it's going to be hard for people to justify doing, you know, big hits. Mm-hmm. This isn't one of these ones where I'm going to do a minus 16 now and get all my Spurs and Chelsea in. But then, as someone like me that's going to wildcard in 35, I'm going to definitely max out on them at the time. Obviously, it's hard to know who now, but I mean, this chart Seb's put together is like brilliant.
Yeah, I like it.
I think, obviously, Jackson, if he doesn't get his suspension, I think Jackson and Palmer would be no-brainers from Chelsea, and probably just Chuck Gusto in there as well. That's your three. And then for Spurs, I mean, you're going to have Son. Madison's obviously been playing less minutes and not looked as good. Richarlison, I can't see him being an asset. So it's probably going to be Son and Johnson, like Brennan Johnson. And then do it's you go Porro? Do you go Porro? I mean, Porro's numbers are very good for a defender, but they are awful at keeping clean sheets. I mean, there could be something like Son, Richarlison and Johnson to just go triple midfield.
Can't see it.
We need to wait and see.
Yeah.
Can't you? Do you not think I would?
No, I don't think you would. No, I really don't.
Challenge laid down.
That has to basically be a wildcard 35, right? Because hitting 35. And then Spurs have like nice fixtures with one Man City fixture, but that's in the double after 35. So I think, as you said, because of that blank before, Chelsea are okay to hold. Spurs are dodgy because they blank and then have a bad double, but then get great.
And so Spurs have got Sheffield United in 38 as well.
Yeah. And is it Burnley in 37 with City? And then a nice fixture in 36 as well, I think.
Yeah, Burnley and Liverpool in... Oh, no, yeah, oh, sorry. No, Liverpool's in 36.
Ah, cool, okay. Cool. So, yeah, I think, like, you want to get on them, but not immediately. And I think the wild card is the only tool to do that.
Yeah.
So, for me, we mentioned this earlier, but I haven't highlighted, I put a few in bold here that I just thought were nice picks because it's quite a big list. Probably should have highlighted Johnson, actually, because if Madison's getting reduced minutes, he's got nice numbers. He has been getting good minutes himself recently. He's probably a consideration as well.
Numbers
for me,
really
a big
good.
Thing comes down to Richarlison. If Richarlison is playing, he's playing up front, which means Son is left. Son is not a bad pick, but is worse from the left. Not only the fact that then there's also another midfielder in FPL terms that's available for us to pick. So I love the idea of Richarlison if he's available, and maybe that would cool me slightly on Son, but it's probably those two I'd be considering. I'm already holding Porro, so that would be my three if it works. But no Richarlison, Son gets better for me, but I probably wouldn't look for an alternative. I wouldn't look for Madison or Johnson. I'd just go Porro and Son.
Key thing with Richarlison as well, because you look at that, don't you, the XGI, Richarlison 0.63 and Maddison 0.53, but obviously, and you know this already, but the Richarlison goal threat, like most of that is the G rather than the A. So
the G.
But I'm just not confident he's going to get good minutes.
So I can just give you that as well, actually. I wanted to keep this table simple, but so
I'd imagine most of it's the G.
Richarlison is 0.56.
Yeah.
G. Really, all G. The vast majority. Yeah, 80%. Maddison is 0.25. So half. So obviously, you know, very, very rough maths. Even if they had the exact same XGI, Richarlison could probably get not quite double because bonus, but close to double Maddison's points by scoring goals versus assists.
Yeah. Right. Interesting. So basically it's Parmesan and then whatever you want after that, I guess. But it's going to be tough. And obviously, even investing now, I don't think it's the right time. I think it's really tough to invest now. I think they've got a nice fixture this week. Is it Everton they got this week at Chelsea? So they could potentially be invested in this week. But it's a tough ask with how they're defending at the moment as well.
Yeah, Everton at home.
Yeah. Right, over or unders. Lovely stuff. And I think next week, Seb will be letting us know how Seb and Rich both got on 3 weeks ago, which would be quite nice.
I don't think I'm here next week, mate. No, maybe doesn't matter if I've got a green or red arrow.
He's due a red arrow.
This is why.
So we've got over unders. Obviously, we've got the double game week in here as well. So this will be for 33, double game week 34, and then for 35 as well. Although there aren't any double game weekers for 35 in this list. That was maybe a bit of an oversight from me. I do apologise. But we've got Garnacho in first. He's been in fairly good form. Got a brace couple game weeks ago. He's got Bournemouth away, Sheffield United at home, Burnley at home. I mean, those fixtures don't get much better, do they? I predicted him at only 11.5. Seb, what do you think? Over or under?
So obviously this is three fixtures versus four for most of them here, but three nice fixtures. Have you gone low? Because these look like numbers we had for doubles a couple of weeks ago when there were like, you know, two fixtures for the price of one. We've got three and four fixtures here. I think I might be over on almost all of these. I think Garnacho is over. Just Garnacho. What is wrong with me tonight? I've shaved my beard and gone really flipping posh. Garnacho is over just because his minutes are good. Those are really nice fixtures. He basically has to do nothing to get over 11.5, and I think he'll do something.
Okay. I mean, he's going to get six because we're not going to keep clean sheets in any of those. So he's going to get six maximum there. Yeah. So Rich, what do you think? Over or under?
No clean sheet. There's Sheffield United and Burnley at home. There's clean sheets
there. Sheffield United just scored two against Chelsea.
Don't care, that's Chelsea. I'm going over. Okay. Probably a few times here.
Okay, cool. Havertz is up next. Aston Villa at home, Wolves away, Chelsea at home, Spurs away. Not, you know, it's got some tricky fixtures in there, I would say. 16.5 I got him as, Rich. What do you think? Over or under?
Over.
Over. Seb?
Let me look what he's got in the last three. I'm interested.
He's got
14 last week, 5 and 3. So if it was those three, and you've got four fixtures here.
Sorry. Is Seb using past points to project future points?
It's what he really does.
Oh, Seb.
There's no correlation.
He's literally just been chucked out of the analytics group.
Over. I was just interested, basically, again, just, you know, number of fixtures. I think even if Havertz weren't playing well recently, just that he got 14 two times in a row. I've not been paying attention. Havertz has been amazing recently.
Yeah, he has.
Double it. 30 points.
McAllister's up next. Crystal Palace at home, Fulham away, Everton away, West Ham away. Three away fixtures there. 16.5. What do you think, Seb?
Sorry, Matt, you need to look up what he's got in the past. Possibly answer in the future otherwise. Maybe this is one of the ones that I could be tempted to go under, just because unless Salah's not on the pitch, he doesn't get penalties. Yes, he's had some attacking returns recently, but I don't know if that's as much a change in his role as it is him just becoming very, very good in that midfield. But it doesn't necessarily suggest he's going to be the key creator. However, all of that said, it's four decent fixtures. He's good. I think I go just over.
Yeah, Rich?
I was surprised he didn't take the penalty yesterday. But I'm going to go over because I think... Yeah, appearance points, couple of clean sheets. It's basically just needs an assist. He's quite good on bonus. So, yeah, I'm going to go over.
Pickford is up next. Don't usually have a keeper in here, but I know Rich has been quite high on Pickford tonight. Chelsea away, Forest at home, Liverpool at home, Brentford at home. Three home fixtures there. I've got him as 12.5, Rich. I'm assuming you're going over.
I'm going over. Yeah.
God.
Been optimistic this week.
Seb.
I think this is basically the only one where you could go under and it not be a terrible shout, because if he doesn't keep a clean sheet against, say, for example, Forest, which you'd hope he would, and doesn't make enough saves against, say, Chelsea and Liverpool, you could see like 2-2-2 and then be relying on Brentford for him to double that, which would basically be a clean sheet. So I am going to go under, but I think it's the closest one, and it may come down to saves he can make against Chelsea and Liverpool if he doesn't keep two clean sheets.
Mateta up next. He's got Liverpool away, then West Ham at home, Newcastle at home, Fulham away. I've only got him as 12.5. I think that's an easy one. You're both going over, yeah?
Yes. I have to.
Sarabia's then last, 14.5. Nottingham Forest away, Arsenal at home, Bournemouth at home, Luton at home. Oh, I'm going to have no Wolves after the double. That's going to be interesting. 14.5. What do you think, Seb?
Over.
Over. Rich?
I'm going to be accused of being really boring just going over for them all. But
no, it's lovely. So this is what we want. It's going to be points over in the double.
No, I don't have to do it next week. We just went over for every single one of them. Exactly. So that's fine.
Easy. Right, so let's move on to some of our teams then. I think I was too conservative in that.
What if we both pick one? We have to pick one that goes under.
No.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Who do we think is the most likely?
You can't complain the whole way through it and then change the rules. No.
I'm going Garnacho under. Garnacho under.
Team screen is up. Right, let's have a look. By the way, there is a super chat in here from Emre Kappa. I will go back to you. Don't worry. It's 219 try, but I don't know what try is, what currency that is. So I do apologise. Someone in the chat will let me know. So I've got Neto in goal. I've got Gabriel.
Turkish lira.
Is it? Oh, okay. Yeah. I've got Gabriel in goal, I've got Neto in goal, Gabriel, Udogi, and Reguilón against Sheffield United at home. He better do something. Son, I've got Palmer as captain at the moment, but that will be Haaland. Saka, Salah, Elanga gets a stay of execution in my team as well. Then I've got Tony and Haaland. I actually don't hate my team this week. If Reguilón and Tony turn up against Sheffield United, I think they could do okay.
Tony would be brilliant.
I know. I've got Morris and Doughty. I've got so many like nice little low-owned players, but they just, like, Tony didn't even turn up last week.
If Tony's going to get a hat-trick, Sheffield United at home, get a bounty.
God, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? He might not even start. Oh.
Well, if Andy gets auto subs this week, it's not skill.
To be fair, Luton are going to score. Doughty, Morris, well, you're good, mate.
This is before transfers.
Okay.
So I've got two free transfers, and I'm going to be doing Doughty to Gusto, most likely. No, I'm not. I've changed my mind. I'm going to be doing Doughty to White, most likely, and not getting Gusto this week. And I'm going to be doing Saka to Foden this week, I think.
Why White over Saliba? They're the same price.
White's 1.1 more, actually. I just fancy White more. I don't know. I was looking
In FPL, like, why? We're not talking about who you want to take for dinner, mate.
Yeah.
I think minutes-wise, Saliba's...
I've been talking about White for so long in terms of, like, he's just been so undervalued in terms of, you know, the attacker returns over Saliba and across the season, his XGI. And I just think I fancy White more than Saliba, basically. I think it would be a really good shout for to the end. And remember, obviously, in the double, I can pick it again if I wanted to, if something happens, because obviously I'll free hit. So, yeah, I think I'm going to be going White. But, yeah, I think that's the move. I was looking at Gusto and I thought, you know what, I've got no guarantee they're going to keep a clean sheet against Everton. And I quite like the idea of coming out of the free hit and having that double Arsenal defence just sat there waiting for me. So, yeah, I think that's probably the way I'm going to go. And then I'll invest in Gusto probably in 35. And then I've got double Spurs and double Chelsea, which I think it's going to be more than enough for 35, personally. Although I say that, I wanted to do Tony to Isak in 35, so I may hold off on Gusto, but we'll see.
That'd be quite nice.
Yeah, exactly. Because they've got Sheffield United at home, Newcastle in 35. So, but yeah, that's how it's looking at the moment. So it means that Udogi will go to the bench and I'll play White, and then I'll have double Arsenal defence, which I wanted for a while. So yeah, that's how it's looking. I think I've got 0.3 in the bank buffer.
And a little bit of bench cover. I think, like, even if you just make one of the transfers, the one that gives you the better player to put on the bench probably makes sense. Because like you say, if someone misses out, it's risky. Yeah.
Interest in losing Saka. Obviously, he's got two very tough fixtures around that fixture as well. So he's got the two Bayern Munich games, hasn't he? Around Aston Villa. And obviously, he's been suffering from niggles, all that kind of stuff at the moment. He went off early at the weekend as well. So I don't think it's the end of the world losing Saka. And if you have a look at what people's moves are after double game week 34, I think people are going to be moving off Saka more than you realise.
And it's worth saying this is because you're free hitting. Like,
yeah,
there's a double. No one else should lose Saka. It's only if you can still have him in the double.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I still think, and it does depend on Saka's minutes, I'd rather have Saka against Villa than Foden against Luton.
Really?
Yes, because you've got the penalties. As it, and I don't think, I mean, I'm not saying Saka's way better than Foden, like in that one fixture, but I don't think it's an upgrade. Does that make sense? I don't think it's a massive upgrade.
I get what you mean. I think it's the minutes. I can't guarantee Saka's going to be getting the minutes.
And that's why it does depend. I mean, if there's any risk, you know, after midweek that Saka's not going to get full minutes, it probably is a very, very good move.
Having a quick look at the old models, Saka is ahead of Foden just, and they're actually quite close on minutes. So
okay, so I guess if you're not, I mean, we're not going to know till midweek, are we, what the minutes are going to be. And you're right, I mean, long term Saka, you're probably, well, you're almost certainly not going to own him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to have him win a wild card in 35, for example, but I don't know, that seems like a tricky sell.
Yeah, no, I know. The thing is, like, ideally I'd go from like a Langer to Foden and I'd have that, you know, but I just can't afford that. So
you had Saka all season, like every game week, or
have I what, sorry?
Have you had Saka every game week?
I can't remember. I honestly can't remember. I might have sold him at some point. I can't remember.
I think he's the only one I've held since game week one, so maybe I'm attached.
Well, let's have a look at your team, Rich. Talk us through it.
I'm trying to remember it now. I'm not doing anything that exciting this week. I think I'm rolling. Although my FPL has crashed. So I'm just going to wait for it. Hold on.
Your team, I can read out if you want, my friend.
No, I've got it. I've got it on my phone.
Ah, cool.
So I've got Neto in goal. I probably should be able to remember this. No, I haven't. I'm going to play Areola if he's fit.
Yeah, I'm going to do that as well. I forgot to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Double Arsenal defence, of course. Bradley, see what happens midweek. I'm just hopeful he starts. It's home to Palace, so it is a good fixture. And my alternative is Zabarnyi against United. So I think, let's say I wasn't confident in Bradley's minutes, I probably would just play Zabarnyi and still roll. And then my midfield and attack, it's all penalty takers. So I've done it again. So Saka, Palmer, Sarabia, Son, Salavis, Solanke, and then Haaland captain.
That's amazing.
Ateta first sub. So yeah, 7 penalty takers. My plan is to roll. Then going into 34, I'll have 2 transfers. And the choice then, I'll be looking at things like, you know, do I just play Bradley? Do I do Haaland to Darwin? And Son will become Eze. So a couple more penalty takers. Okay. Well, not Darwin.
It looks good, though. I like it. I love those. That front seven's lovely.
It's all right. I do miss Foden, but it's just not worth going there now. I don't have enough transfers.
You will this week, mate, when Saka blanks. Seb, talk us through your team.
Well, I could do Saka. Actually, no, I couldn't, could I?
No,
I couldn't.
Go on, Seb.
I'd similar enough to Rich. I don't have a wild card anymore, so I think Rich will end up taking this. But hopefully,
don't jinx me.
Yeah, that's the plan. Last year was transfers, this time just voodoo.
You're going to pull your Callum Wilson out of somewhere.
Easy. I've got Raya in goal, Gabriel, Gusto, Vardiel, Salah, vice-captain, Saka, Palmer, Sarabia, Solanke, Darwin, Haaland, captain, which is 6 penalty takers, not 7 like Rich, because I've benched Eze and played Darwin. Maybe I should make that change just so I can keep up.
Play Eze, make it Battle of the Pens.
Exactly, mate. Petrovic on the bench with Pedro Porro, Eze has mentioned, and Minos. So I think, obviously, don't really want Eze and Minos to come on. But I think if I do have any doubts anywhere, I've got Pedro Porro, who almost certainly will play. So feel comfy enough in that team and think it looks all right. We'll roll. I've got a transfer, which I don't think I need to use. Did the Vardiel one last week. So overall this time.
There was a few people in the chat as well that said, could I just use one move? Obviously, I've got to use my 2 free transfers because I'm free hitting in 34. So I've got to use the 2. So that's why I'm obviously looking at what to do. Community team. They got 60 points this week. They had Neto in goal, Saliba with 5, Aitnori with 4, Gabriel with 6, Palmer captain with 10, Gordon with 3, Saka 10, Salah 8, Haaland 8, Cunha with 0, oof, and then Solanke with 2, with Foden, Zabarnyi, Taylor and Areola on the bench. They got 60 points. It was a 10k rad arrow, so they're down to 117k overall rank. They rolled the free transfers. So they've got 2 to use, and they've got the wild card and the bench boost still to play. So they basically pulled a little bit of ground on us and then absolutely shat their pants and, you know, I got another red arrow. So we've got nothing to worry about, lads. They have a good week and then they just drop down again. So I think we're absolutely fine. I was a little bit worried, but then I thought, well, you know, they're just, it all goes back to the mean, doesn't it? They've been making bad decisions all year. I'm sure we'll be absolutely fine moving forward. They're not going to do anything with their wild card, so we're all good. Right.
What was it? What was it Rich said a minute ago? I forget. Never mind. Probably not important. It's fine.
Yeah. What did I say? Oh, don't jinx it.
Jinx.
Yeah, don't
or jinx it. If they catch anyone, they're going to catch Andy first.
I know. So. And I'm the one that's been giving it the big
like,
as well.
I like your thinking. We'll throw in, we'll throw Andy at them like the cartoon barrel to try and just slow them down. Yeah.
Right. Q&A then to finish off. So chuck in your questions. We've got about 5 minutes. Well, maybe not even that, to be honest, because we're going a bit longer than usual. Chuck us in. Dragonlot says, Andy doing his usual dissing of the community team again. Yes, I am. They deserve it as well. They're not a team. They're not a team. They're just a bunch of individuals. It's like watching Man United play.
We have the super chat as well, my friend.
Oh, yes, we do. Let's go back to the super. Thank you so much, Seb. So, Emre Kappa says, I want to triple on Liverpool attack for game week 34, but because of Ake and Areola's injury, I am now forced to play double Bournemouth this weekend. Is it worth bringing Van Dijk and missing Liverpool's triple attack upside? So what do you think? Is it better to just go for Van Dijk because he's got those injuries, or should he be going for triple attack, Seb?
I think Van Dijk's a good pick. When we were looking at the projected points on the models, I forget, maybe Rich can remember, but he was ahead of Diaz. Maybe that's just a minutes thing. Obviously not ahead of Salah, but you've got Salah. Maybe ahead of Darwin or just behind Darwin. So I think Van Dijk, yeah, triple midfield would be a lovely gamble, but it's not like Van Dijk is a subpar option there. I think he's a good choice even for people who are free hitting. Might not go triple Liverpool.
Yeah, I agree. Rich?
Yeah, I mean, he's mentioned two things here. So Areola, so I'm assuming he's having to play Neto because Areola is injured. Mm. So Areola could be back. If not, just play Neto. That's fine. Ake hasn't trained. I don't think he travelled.
He didn't.
Man City. But no, he didn't. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. You know, if you have to play Neto, that's not a problem. I think I'll do it. I think I'll just bring in Van Dijk, though.
I will say about Neto as well. If you look at the bookies' odds, Bournemouth are favourites against Man United, which is crazy.
Oh, after what happened last time.
It's absolutely crazy. So, I mean, I'm expecting goals in that game, but you could do worse and get, you know, look at Neto this week. Conceded two goals, got 4 points. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that was the game at Old Trafford, wasn't it? Where, I mean, I first bought Garnacho and you lost, 3-1? Was it almost 4-1, but there was a VAR?
Yeah. I've repressed it, I don't know. Right.
Pretty sure that's what happened.
Lennox says, hi, I have the same team as Andy. Oh, sorry, mate. But thoughts on going Alanga to Foden and Doughty to Gusto with 2 free hits. If you can do it, definitely. I don't have the money in the bank to be able to do Alanga up to Foden. But yeah, if you can do it, I would. Alanga does have Wolves at home this week. So, fingers crossed he does something. But, I mean, yeah, you'd want Foden for after 34 as well. So, I think that's a good move, personally. Hope you boys are happy that I answered that because he's got my team.
He was flexing that he's got more money than you.
No, he was flexing that he had my team. That's what he was doing.
With more money.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got your team. I had a spare 10 million.
Hang on, Lennox blocked. Rock says, wouldn't go triple Liverpool because of their poor finishing in the final third. Knife fan says, thoughts on bringing Munoz in for Porro this week, but benching him for Zabanyi. Rich, would you bring in Munoz? Oh, I suppose because Munoz has a tough fixture this week, but then he's got the double. So would you bring Munoz in for Porro, but bench him for Zabanyi this week?
I think there's a lot of this with people who are dead-ended and have got 2 free transfers. So, I mean, if you want Munoz for the double, then I don't see any reason not to. Because, I mean, who are Spurs playing? Hold on. Spurs are away at Newcastle. So it doesn't look great for Porro, does it? It doesn't look great at all for Porro. And then they blank. So, yeah, I quite like that.
Yeah. Seb?
I mean, what Rich said, and Rich is on that strategy, so I would trust him. The only thing
I'm assuming that's the strategy.
I mean, the only other one would be free hitting and also have to, like Andy, have to use transfers. And then in that case, I think what I was going to say is maybe even more relevant, where like the only thing I'd make sure I did is if I've got players I want and transfers I need to use by 34, 35, just make sure you get the players in the order of how likely you'd want them on your pitch. So I guess money matters as well, of course. But if you're getting Munoz and benching him just because it's a neat transfer, but actually someone else that you'd want in 34 would be a better addition to your squad this week, obviously grab them first.
Lennox says that was 100% a flex. Yeah, I see you, Lennox. Don't you worry. And Mr. Mahaloha.
Just like the old, that's a nice car you've got there. I think I'll buy one for myself and put it in the garage.
Yeah. Mr. Mahaloha says, get your Wilson out for the lads. There you go. Just got this image of Seb looking down and shouting at himself like Tom Hanks in a Castaway. Right, Rich, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
It was good fun. It was good fun. I never thought I'd have so much fun talking about rolling.
I know.
Yeah.
Like a panda. Seb, I hope you enjoyed yourself as well.
I did, mate. A whole 15% more with that last check.
Good, good. I'm glad. And chat, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Thank you as well if you've been listening on the pod, and thank you if you've been listening live as well. We do hope that your weekend is good, and we hope you have a green arrow. We are getting into the business end of the season now, so make sure you're watching us every Monday. We'll be back next Monday, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.